I just want to look at a phrase in this verse right here. It says, John, to the seven churches which are in Asia, grace be unto you and peace from him which is and which was and which is to come, and from the seven spirits which are before his throne. Notice the phrase, the seven spirits which are before his throne. Chapter 3 and verse 1 says, unto the angel of the church in Sardis write, these things saith he that hath the seven spirits of God. In chapter 4 and verse 5 it says, and out of the throne proceed lightnings and thunderings and voices, and there were seven lamps and fire burning before the throne, which are the seven spirits of God. And then chapter 5 and verse 6, it says, there stood a lamb as it had been slain, having seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God. Notice they're called the seven spirits of God, and it speaks of Jesus. These things hath he that hath the seven spirits of God. I want to speak this morning on that subject, the seven spirits of God. If you'll turn now to the book of Isaiah in chapter number 11 and verses number 1 and 2, the Bible is always the best commentary on the Bible. And we see four times in the book of Revelation the phrase the seven spirits of God, and the prophet Isaiah, we go back to him and he reveals to us what the seven spirits of God are. And in studying them this morning, we find out what is God really like. What is God really like? That question is answered for us by examining the seven spirits that God has. In Isaiah chapter number 11 and verses 1 and 2, we have what's called a messianic prophecy. That means a prophecy about the Messiah or the coming Christ. This is written 700 years before Christ came to Bethlehem as a little baby. And Isaiah, by the inspiration of the Holy Ghost, says this about Jesus Christ in verse 1 of Isaiah 11. And there shall come forth a rod out of the stem of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots. That's speaking about Christ, the branch, and Jesse being the father of David, and of course the lineage of David brought Christ. Now I want you to notice now the seven spirits that would rest upon Jesus Christ as he walked the earth in verse 2. And the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord. In understanding these seven spirits, it explains to us what God is like. Now, when we talk about spirits today, we're talking about not ghosts or something like that. We're talking about attitudes that people have or live by. An attitude or a spirit that describes someone. For instance, you may see a lady that you might know in your life and might say, you know, she has a very, very gentle spirit about her. And we're talking about a prevailing attitude in her life that explains what she's really like. My grandma turns 99 years old this next week. She is just the gentlest person I've ever known in my life. She just has a gentle spirit. If you ask anybody who knew Grandma Cole, they would say she has a gentle spirit. That spirit defines her character. Sometimes you may say about somebody, boy, he really has a giving spirit about him. Or it could be a bad thing. Boy, he has an angry spirit about him, doesn't he? Or he has a proud spirit about him. That's all he thinks about is himself. That's all he talks about is himself. Or, boy, she has a jealous spirit, you know, because somebody took her boyfriend away or something like that. And, boy, did that jealousy come out like a green monster. The spirit is that defining attitude that shows the character of a person. Now, if you and I were alive almost 2,000 years ago when Jesus walked the earth, there were seven defining spirits about him that you could see in his character. The seven spirits of God, and they're mentioned for us beginning here in verse number 2. Now, as we study these things, we learn, what is God really like? What are the prevailing spirits or attitudes of God's person? But we also want to look up to these seven spirits of God today and study them so that we can emulate them. Because the reason we have been saved is so that we can ultimately become like Christ. And the spirits that Christ had, the prevailing attitudes that Christ lived by, should be the spirit that we have. So I want you to notice the seven spirits of God today. And I want you to notice number 1 is the Spirit of the Lord. The Spirit of the Lord, it says, and the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him. This is not talking about the Holy Spirit. We're not talking about the Holy Spirit today. We're talking about the seven spirits of God. And the first spirit that would rest upon Jesus Christ when he walked this earth was the Spirit of the Lord. Now, I want you to notice the word Lord here in your Bible, and I hope you have the King James Bible today. What do you notice that's unique about the word Lord in verse number 2? Anybody notice something about it? It's all capitalized, meaning it comes from what Hebrew word? The word, it comes from the word Jehovah. Jehovah. And that's very important. Every single word of God has been chosen for a particular reason. It does not say the Spirit of El Elyon would rest upon Christ, the Mighty One. It doesn't say the Spirit of El Olam, the Everlasting One, would rest upon him, or the Spirit of Elohim, plurality and unity. It says the Spirit of Jehovah would rest upon Jesus Christ. There's so many names given for God in the Hebrew language, but this one specifically, whenever you get a capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D in your Old Testament, it comes from the Hebrew word Jehovah, which means the eternal, ever-loving one. The eternal, ever-loving one. The first spirit of God is the Spirit of love. The Spirit of love. We know in 1 John 4, verse 8, 1 John 4, verse 16, both verses say, God is love. And you understand this word Jehovah is used so many times in the Old Testament. It's estimated at about 7,000 times in over 5,500 different verses in the Old Testament. You'll see capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D, God identifying himself to us as the eternal, ever-loving one. Ever-loving one. The Spirit of love abode upon the Lord Jesus Christ. I mean, love just flowed from him. Anyone that was around him just sensed that spirit of love that Jesus Christ had. Number 2, the Spirit of wisdom. In verse number 2. The Spirit of wisdom. What is the Spirit of wisdom? The Spirit of wisdom is a spirit of expertise. It is when somebody just knows what to do. Have you ever been in a situation where you could see somebody who had a spirit of wisdom? They just knew what to do in that situation. It's called the Spirit of wisdom. Now, none of us are all wise like God is, and like Jesus is, but God knows what to do. Turn to Psalm 147 and keep your place here if you want, or I'll just read this. In Psalm 147, the Scripture tells us this about God in verse number 5. Great is our Lord and of great power. His understanding is infinite. He has the Spirit of wisdom. He just knows what to do. I can think of a couple situations where you can just see the Spirit of wisdom. I remember when I was in Florida a couple years ago, and a few of you heard this story before, and And I'll try to tell it early in the sermon so I don't ruin your lunch. But I was just walking down the 1A right by the Atlantic Ocean, and my wife was looking at the ocean, and I was looking at this guy rollerblading. He's about 40, 50 years of age. I just thought, kind of strange for a man that old to be rollerblading up the highway. I kind of thought that was things kids do, but I guess adults do it too. And he was acting strangely, and he was looking in the cars as he was rollerblading. And these were not cars that he owned. And there was a car right next to me, just as far as the flag is away, and he pulled up there, and he was looking in the car on his rollerblades, and I'm looking over at him, and he looks up, and he notices me. And he just acted strangely, turned around and began to rollerblade across the highway, and immediately he was struck by a car while I'm looking at him. And he was injured severely, and blood was squirting out of his body, and I didn't know what to do. I am no good in those situations. But immediately, I don't know where these people came from, but all kinds of people showed up who knew exactly what to do. And man, some lady, she had a cloth, and she put it on her arm, and she was applying pressure, and another guy was tying off his shoulder with a tourniquet, and next thing I know, there was ambulances there, and it was just surreal. Surreal. And I'm almost fainting. I'm turning white. And I'm just, you know, I just thought of that situation. I said, thank God in that situation somebody knew what to do. That's the spirit of wisdom. That's the spirit of wisdom. Brethren, God knows what to do. No matter who we are today, no matter what we're going through, no matter what we're facing, God knows what to do. Jesus has the spirit of wisdom. He knows what to do in every single case. Nothing has ever occurred to God, and nothing has ever caught God by surprise. He knows what to do. Thank God for those when somebody's choking who know what to do to clear their throat, or your car's by the side of the road and your hood's up and there's steam going everywhere and you're like, what do I do? And somebody comes along and knows exactly what to do. Amen? That's the spirit of wisdom. And that's the spirit God has. If any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. James 1, verse 5. He knows what to do. He has that spirit about him. Do you ever remember being a boy or a girl growing up, and your grandpa, he always knew what to do. Spirit of wisdom. And then number three, there's the spirit of understanding. In verse 2 it says, and the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, and the spirit of wisdom and understanding. The spirit of understanding. Jesus Christ has the seven spirits of God, and one of those is the spirit of understanding. Now what does this one mean? This is a blessing. This is a real blessing. I want to read what this means to you, to us, and how it applies to us today, and what a blessing it is. In Psalm 103, and verse 14, listen to this. It says this, for he knoweth our frame. He remembereth that we are dust. I thank God he understands what we are. He knows our frame. He understands we're just dust. Have you ever disappointed God so many times you wonder, why does he even bother with me anymore? You know why he still bothers with you and bothers with me? Because he has a spirit of understanding. He knows our frame. He knows we're just dust. That's the spirit of understanding. In Hebrews chapter number 4, the New Testament verse puts it this way about Jesus Christ, our high priest. It says, for we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted, like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. God understands. He has a spirit of understanding. He is touched with the feelings of our infirmities. Because he once walked the earth too and was tested in all points like as we are, yet without sin. And when we go to God, it says there's one mediator between God and man. And then the next word says, the man, Christ Jesus. As he intercedes for us, he intercedes as a man. Thank God he intercedes for us as a man. He sits next to God and he says, Dear Father, I know what they're going through. I was there. I know what that's like. I was there. He understands our frame that we're just dust. He has the spirit of understanding. I'm so glad God has the spirit of understanding, that spirit of sympathy, that spirit of empathy. And because of that spirit, he has not given up on me yet. Spirit of understanding. And then number four, there's the spirit of counsel. There's the spirit of counsel back in Isaiah chapter 11. And number two, the spirit of wisdom and understanding, the spirit of counsel. One of the spirits, one of the attitudes that just define the character of Jesus Christ and defines the character of God is counsel. That means he has a helpful spirit. It's just the spirit of God. He just wants to help people. Did you ever meet somebody that has that spirit of counsel? I remember my grandfather was like that. And he passed away a long time ago. But he was the kind of guy, if you were in a jam with mechanics, he'd come along and he'd say, let me help you with that. Let me help you with that. Let me show you what to do. Let me show you how to do this. You know, he teach you how to put a spark plug in. Don't tighten it too much. You don't want to break the ceramics, and you don't want to, you know, you don't want to, you know, the threads there. You don't want to strip them because then you got to get an easy out. It's going to be a whole lot harder and all that kind of stuff. And you just put it in snug, and you give it a little, and he'd show you what to do. And it would help you the rest of your life. And a helpful spirit. That's the spirit of counsel. The spirit of counsel. You ever met people like that? You know, I want to encourage you, don't be afraid in your life to ask questions. Because there's always somebody else that knows what to do, and they have that spirit where they'd just be willing to help you. And you don't have to learn everything yourself, you know. You can learn things from other people. And I remember a fellow that came over, and I couldn't afford to have my home sided and to pay somebody, but I could afford the siding, and a fella came over and said, well, let me show you how to do it. And he showed me how to put starter strip on and corner posts and J-channel around the windows and soffit and all that kind of stuff. And he did one whole wall of my house while I watched him. And he said, this is how you cut these angles and so on and so forth. And he did the whole wall, and I watched him, and I caught on. That was the spirit of counsel. Awful nice of him to do that. God has that spirit. So let me help you. Let me show you what to do. He is our live-in counselor. His name in Isaiah 9 and verse 6 is Counselor. Counselor. He wants to help you. You say, boy, I'm a husband. I don't have a clue what to do here. God will come along and say, let me help you. Let me help you. Let me show you what to do. God knows everything. We talked about that earlier in the spirit of wisdom. And he's also a counselor. He doesn't just know what to do. He wants to help us do it. You say, I don't know how to be a good mother. Ask God. How to be a good father. Ask God how to handle my finances. He can handle that. What to do with my health. What to do with my family. What to do with my marriage. What to do with my job. And how to do this. I'm telling you something. If I was a brain surgeon, I would ask God every morning before I started operating, God, help me. You made this brain. You know what to do. Help me. If I was a cook, every time before I cooked, I'd say, Lord, help me to cook. You know how to serve people. You know how to feed people. You've been doing pretty well at it. Help me with this thing. Doesn't matter what it is. I don't care if you're trying to do mechanical work or building a house or whatever. He was a carpenter. You can ask him, what should I do? What should I do here? I don't know what to do. Help me. And a God will meet you who has a spirit of counsel. And then notice number five, he has a spirit of might. He has a spirit of might. There is a military spirit about God also. There is a military side to the Lord, the spirit of might. In Matthew 28 and verse 18, the Bible, Jesus made this claim. He said, "All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth." That's the spirit of might. Jesus said, "All power." There is nothing weak or timid about our God. He's not scared. He's not flustered. He has never been overcome by anybody or anything. His spirit is one of victory. This word might here means to act with courage, to act with confidence. There is a spirit of courage about God. There is a spirit of might about God. "Who is man that thou shouldest fear him?" He asked the prophet Isaiah. He has the spirit of might. He's all powerful. Jesus never met a sick person that he didn't heal. He never met a dead person that he didn't raise from the dead. He never met a demon-possessed person that he didn't set them free. He never met a lost person that he didn't save. He has the spirit of might. He has the spirit of power. There was never a miracle that he couldn't do. That's his spirit. Let me show you this. There's a military spirit, a spirit of courage about God. There's a military side to him. That's why we have so many military hymns we sing. "Onward, Christian soldiers, marching as to war with the cross of Jesus." You know, there is a royal banner given for display to the soldiers of the King. "As an ensign fair we lift it up today, as a ransom ones we sing, marching on, for Christ count everything but loss. To crown him king we'll toil and sing beneath the banner of the cross." The spirit of might, to act courageously. God is not afraid. He's not afraid of our president. He's not afraid of those in Albany. He's not afraid of the professor at the university. He's not afraid of the infidel across the street. God's not afraid. And he has the spirit of knowledge. Number 6. He has the spirit of knowledge, Isaiah 11, verse 2. Now, this does mean that he has all the facts and that he has all the answers, that he is omniscient. As we read earlier in Psalm 147, his understanding is infinite. We don't need to look to another for answers. He has the spirit of knowledge. We don't have to go to the psychic fairs. We don't have to consult the astrological timetables or calendars. We don't have to play the tarot cards. We don't have to look into the crystal ball or play the Ouija board. God has the spirit of knowledge. We talked about this a little bit, but this word is a little bit different here. This word, the spirit of knowledge, means the spirit of attendance. The spirit of attendance. And here's what it means. Did you ever hear, here's probably the best illustration, did you ever hear of a mother's intuition? Did you ever hear that? A mother's intuition. What's that mean? Yeah? She knows when you're doing wrong. All right? I mean, we used to think she had eyes in the back of her head. Remember that? She must have eyes in the back of her head. How'd she know that? Knowledge. Spirit of knowledge. Listen, I've actually heard stories of mothers whose sons were halfway around the world in the war, who knew something was wrong, and they knew it was time to pray. It's a spirit of knowledge, and that's the word right here. God knows his children. He knows where they are. He knows what's happening to them. He has the spirit of knowledge. Turn to Psalm 139. Psalm 139. I want to illustrate from the Bible the spirit of knowledge, the sixth spirit of God. And notice what it says here in verse 1. O Lord, thou hast searched me and known me. Thou knowest my down sitting and mine uprising. Thou understandest my thought afar off. Thou compassest my path and my lying down, and art acquainted with all my ways. For there is not a word in my tongue, but lo, O Lord, thou knowest it altogether. Thou hast beset me behind and before, and laid thine hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high. I cannot attain unto it. Do you see it there? Do you see the spirit of knowledge? God knows about his kids. Did you ever hear of a neglectful father? Not God. Not God. It's 11 o'clock. Do you know where your children are? God does. God knows how it is with every one of his sons and every one of his daughters. That's his spirit to make it his business. He knows how many times you've sat down today. He knows how many times you've risen up today. He compassed you while you were lying down in your bed last night. Do you remember when you had children, your firstborn, and you just held her? In my case, it was a girl, and you just stared at her. And man, you just had her memorized. You memorized everything about her. You watched every detail of her life. You didn't miss a day of her life. You saw her grow. And you had another son and another daughter for me, and you paid attention to your children. You knew about them. And then you saw their character develop, and you knew what their character was. And you saw their behavior, and you knew what they were up to and when they were up to it. And when you needed to correct them. A spirit of like a mother's intuition. God has that spirit. He's got the hairs of your head all numbered. Do you think he cares about you? That's amazing. David said, such knowledge is too wonderful for me. I can't attain it. I can't believe it. He would go on and he would say in verse 17, how precious also are thy thoughts unto me, O God. How great is the sum of them. If I should count them, they are more in number than the sand. When I awake, I am still with thee. What's he saying? He's saying, God just thinks about me all the time. He said, you cannot number how much he thinks about us. Now, he has the spirit of knowledge. He knows his children. Now, we might not think about God much, but he thinks about us all the time. And so help me, he notices whenever your hair falls out of your head. It's the spirit of knowledge. Spirit of knowledge. He knows his kids. Are we getting to know God a little more this morning? Number 7, the spirit of the fear of God. We started out with the love of God, the spirit of love. Number 1. Number 7, the spirit of the fear of God. Look, there's a side of God that's holiness. And it's fearful. Jesus Christ had this spirit of concern. He knew the holiness of God, the justice of God, the wrath of God, and so that affected his spirit with concern so that he tried to win everyone to himself that he possibly could. The spirit of the fear of the Lord. I don't know of any place maybe where that spirit of the fear of the Lord came out in Jesus more than when he said these words in Mark chapter number 9. Beginning at verse 43, these are the very words of Christ. He said, if thy hand offend thee, cut it off. It is better for thee to enter into life maimed than having two hands to go into hell under the fire that never shall be quenched, where their worm dieth not and the fire is not quenched. And if thy foot offend thee or cause thee to stumble, cut it off. For it is better for thee to enter halt into life on one foot than having 2 feet to be cast into hell, into the fire that never shall be quenched, where their worm dieth not and the fire is not quenched. And if thine eye offend thee, if you're looking at things that you shouldn't be looking at and you're getting so much pleasure out of them that they're keeping you from coming to Christ and being saved, pluck your eye out. It's better to enter into the kingdom of God with one eye than having two eyes to be cast into hell fire, where their worm dieth not and the fire is not quenched. Sounds like Jesus had the spirit of the fear of the Lord on him. It's not all just lovey-dovey stuff when you know God. Thank the Lord for the Spirit of Jehovah, the Spirit of love, number one. But he also had the spirit of the fear of the Lord. And he warned everybody he could. He said, strive to enter in at that straight, narrow gate. For broad is the way. It leads to destruction, and many there be that go in therein. And Jesus, it has been observed, preached about hell more than any prophet in all of the scriptures. The spirit of the fear of the Lord. Now in closing, what a God. By understanding those prevailing attitudes of God that he has, we understand more what he's like. What balance? What balance of fear and compassion and everything in between. But we also study this so that we can become like this. We are saved and predestinated to be conformed to the image of his Son. And these seven spirits, it's wonderful for us to worship the Lord this morning as we have and said, wow, the Spirit of the Lord, the Spirit of counsel, the Spirit of understanding, the Spirit of might and the spirit of the fear of the Lord and the spirit of knowledge and understanding. Wow! And yeah, we ought to worship God. But we also ought to say, you know, Lord, you saved me to be like you, and we ought to have the spirit of the Lord. We should have the spirit of love. That should be a prevailing spirit in our life. To love people. To love them unconditionally. To love the worst of sinners. We should have the spirit of wisdom. We should constantly be filling our minds with facts so that in different life's experiences we can know what to do and teach other people, especially in the spiritual realm. We should have the spirit of understanding. We should have sympathy on somebody who falls. We should understand their frame, that they're just dust, because we've fallen before too. And we should feel for the person who backslides or the person who takes a fall. We should have the spirit of counsel. It ought to be our spirit to say, hey, can I help you in any way? Is there any way anything I can do to help you? The spirit of might. We should be a courageous people, not a timid people, not a scared people, not a fearful people. The spirit of knowledge. We should know about our brothers and sisters in the Lord. God knows about his children, everything about them. We should make it our business to know about other people. We don't have the mind of God. We can't know everything, but we ought to know what's going on. How can I pray for you? Hey, I've been praying about this. How is that going? You know about people. And we ought to have the spirit of the fear of the Lord. Where we say, you know, you need to get saved. Man, you need to get saved. You need to trust Christ as your Savior. Don't let anything stop you. Don't let your eye stop you. Don't let your foot stop you. Don't let your hand stop you. You need to be saved. We need to be concerned for people and share the gospel with them. Like Jesus had the fear, spirit of the fear of the Lord. How many of these spirits do we have today? Perhaps there's some, maybe a bunch, that we just need to make a matter of prayer today and say, Lord, basically, I don't care about anybody but myself. Change me. Change me. I don't care about anybody. I'm just wrapped up in my life right now. But, Lord, give me that spirit of knowledge where I'll start thinking about some others. People have fallen away, haven't been here for weeks or months. Let me go after them. Let me minister to them. Spirit of understanding when somebody falls, and I don't understand some of the things some people do. All I know is there's times in my life where I did things that were completely insane. And somehow God put up with that. I'd like us to bow for a word of prayer right now. And let's just worship the Lord this morning and say, wow, what a God. These seven prevailing spirits that were the fabric of his character, that governed and fashioned his behavior. These seven spirits of God. And I know all of us, we've got to have some of these spirits we can come and pray for today. We're going to sing in a moment, I Must Tell Jesus. I Must Tell Jesus. How about some of these things today? The seven spirits of God. How many do we have? Jesus said, my house shall be a house of prayer unto all nations. One of the things we're supposed to do in his house is pray. Let's pray. Let's pray about these things. Our Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you at times the New Testament is explained in the Old Testament. And other times the Old Testament is explained in the New Testament. What a book. Only you could write it. Lord, we've put the seven spirits of God under the microscope today, and we're just amazed at how perfect you are. Truly, Jesus was right when he said, be therefore perfect, even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect. What balance you have, O God. For you have the seven spirits of God. Lord, we need these. Help us to pray about one or two, or pursue them all. Bless our invitation now and bring to salvation those that need the Lord this morning. In Jesus' name, amen.